And we open the first seal. And I'm going to read now from my translation. You follow the authorized version. That's still the best. None of these modern versions have made any improvement at all, including mine. It hasn't helped it at all. But all I've done, without trying to translate, but just pulling out of the original what John is saying. Will you listen? And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying as a sound of thunder. Now, it's not come and see. It's go. It's a command from heaven. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and one sitting on him having a bow and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the seven-seal book. He breaks the first seal, and he's going to break them all. Add seriatim, right in order. The book of Revelation makes sense, friends. And he's in full charge, and every creature in heaven is moving at his command. And so the fourth horseman now are going to ride forth, and he breaks the seal, and he says, go. And it's restated by John that he saw and he heard. This is television we're looking at. And to determine the symbolism of the rider on the white horse, that's given rise to a difference of opinion, many differences. The preponderance interpretation among commentators is that he represents Christ, and they use Psalm 45 and Revelation 19 in support of this position. But most of the contemporary Bible expositors of the premillennial school say that the white horse and the rider is Antichrist. And that's the position of Scott, Ironside, Schaefer, Walford, Woodbridge, and Pentecost. And it happens to be my position also. Now, he rides forth, and Antichrist does not appear as a villain. After all, Satan's angels, they're angels of light. They don't look like demons. They don't have horns. And so Antichrist is going to come as the most attractive man that the world has ever seen so far, because they didn't see the Lord Jesus and they don't see him today. But they're going to accept this man because he's come in his own name. And we are moving today in the direction of a world dictator. More and more is that true. All the nations of the world today are disturbed. Lawlessness abounds. Governments are not able to control as they should. This is all preparing the way for the coming of one who is going to rule. And he's not going to have horns or cloven feet. He's going to be the most attractive man the world has ever seen, and they will elect him, and the world will acclaim him, and when he takes over, it's sure going to be bad for the world. Now, this is not just the ravings of a preacher here in California. This is something that other men in other walks of life who apparently make no great claim to being a Christian have said. Professor A.J. Toynbee, who was director of studies in the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and I'm quoting him now, by forcing on mankind more and more lethal weapons and at the same time making the whole world more and more interdependent economically, technology has brought mankind to such a degree of distress that we are ripe for deifying any new Caesar who might succeed in giving the world unity and peace. That's the end of the quotation. That will be the platform that Antichrist is coming in on. Unity of the world, one world, and peace. And believe me, I think if anybody appeared on the scene now and had offered the world that, they wouldn't ask whether he came from heaven or hell. I don't think they'd care, because there is today an obsession. We want peace, and we've spent billions of dollars for it. G.K. Chesterton observed in his day, He says one of the paradoxes of this age is that it's the age of pacifism, but not the age of peace. A great deal of talking about it. In a news item some time ago, a woman in Fayetteville, Arkansas, named the United Nations as the beneficiary of a $700,000 estate. And in her will, this was her statement. In the fervent hope that this relatively small contribution may be of some effect in bringing about universal peace on earth and goodwill among men. And I want to say she poured that money down a rat hole, because you're not going to buy peace with $700,000 or millions of dollars. We have given away billions of dollars throughout the world, and we don't have peace. And the Ford Foundation today is the world's wealthiest private organization, having listed resources of $492,678,255. And it has announced that the money eventually will be used to work for world peace and better government, living and education conditions. And the world gets worse all the time. You see, when Antichrist comes to power, he's going to talk peace. And the world will think that it's entering the millennium when it's actually entering the Great Tribulation. You see, the Great Tribulation comes in like a lamb, but it goes out like a lion. That's the big lie that the world is going to believe. Now, this rider could not be Christ. Therefore, in view of the fact that Christ is the Lamb in the midst of the throne, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, and he's directing these earthly events from heaven and is giving the orders to the four horsemen to ride, Christ is clearly identified in Revelation 19, while here the identity is certainly obscure, which I think suggests that it's not Christ, but an imitation of him.